Chapter 43, Epilogue.
Listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't, is it? You could come and save me and try to chase it crazy.
The subtle judder of a ship dropping out of hyperspeed dragged John up from his meditation. Breathing in evenly, settling himself back into his body, he opened his eyes. Across from him, coming up from his own meditation, Obi-Wan was already smiling, an excited stretch of his lips that did nothing to distract from the way he was subtly floating above the Durasteel floor. John rolled his eyes. Standing up, John took a moment to stretch before leaning over and shoving Obi-Wan back down. A warm hand wrapped around his wrist, tugging sharply in an attempt to trip him, but John twisted in the grip so he was leaning obnoxiously across Obi-Wan's shoulders. Under his stomach, they shook with silent laughter. "You know," John said, jamming a finger in Obi-Wan's cheek and pulling it back before teeth could sink into his flesh. "The meditation was supposed to calm you down, not rile you up." Obi-Wan sniffed. "I am perfectly in control of myself and my emotions, John." John, who had been in the room when Obi-Wan shattered one of the windows in their quarters in a fit of teenage angst just last week, stared at him in blatant disbelief. "Just because I am excited about being one of the first Jedi in centuries to be invited to Mandalore does not mean I am about to muck it all up," Obi-Wan said. That, at least, John knew. It had been a surprise to John that when the Order responded to the request from Duke Kreese for Jedi assistance, their four-person team had been met with wary acceptance. He had thought that if any Jedi were to go on a diplomatic mission to Mandalore, it would have been a single master, or even two accomplished knights. Further research in the archives had led John to believe that the Mandalorians were only so accepting of their team because two of them would still be considered children in their culture. Mace had been pleased, if wary, about their mission when it had first been assigned. It was only the knowledge that Master Plo and Obi-Wan were going to be joining them that had kept John from a panic attack at the news of where his first mission out of the temple would be. Even Dark Woman had never ventured into Mandalorian space. As if sensing the turn of his thoughts, he was jostled, and he slipped into Obi-Wan's lap, sprawling there and going limp like a particularly comfortable tuka. John wheezed when pointy elbows dug into his back, squirming as Obi-Wan hummed above him. "Credit for your thoughts?" "No," John grumbled. Obi-Wan's response was interrupted by the sound of footsteps, and they both looked up in the way that had reefed shuddering and whispering about force ghosts and possession, eyes wide and heads tilted just slightly enough to be unsettling. In the doorway, Mace raised one eyebrow at them, mouth twitching in an attempt to hide his smile. "We'll land shortly, so please contain yourselves before then." Simultaneously, John and Obi-Wan saluted, chiming,
Yes, Master Windu.
To their delight, Mace scoffed and rolled his eyes, heading for the cockpit and leaving the two of them snickering. John rolled off Obi-Wan, slipping into a shadow and dropping to his feet lightly behind him, as the other Padawan made his way out of the room. The two of them fell into step, the ship around them slowing, excitement bubbling across their pair bond. Grinning, Obi-Wan ducked into the cockpit to stand behind Master Plo, who was sitting at the controls, and getting a fond rumble in his direction. John mirrored him behind Mace, idly checking the landing calculations as he leaned against the back of the co-pilot chair. The comm crackled to life.
"State your purpose."
John watched as his master went through the usual permissions with a terse voice, calm in the face of clear distrust. An elbow jammed into his ribs and he stepped on Obi-Wan's foot in silent retaliation, even as he looked over. Obi-Wan met his glare with a smile full of teeth, one scarred hand pointing over their master's shoulders to the planet filling the viewport. Looming below them, surface barren but for the scattering of domes stretched over sprawling cities, Mandalore waited. The end.
Hello, hello, anybody out there?
Podfickers note. I have now finished recording all of Curate Ipsum and the follow-up fic. I am set to post this on Star Wars Day because the fic itself ended on Star Wars Day, and I thought it would be really cool to end it exactly a year later. So fingers crossed that that happens as planned. If you listened to this podfic, I would really appreciate if you would leave a kudos or comment so that I know. I love this fic so much, and I put a lot of effort into narrating it. And it's been really cool having commenters sort of follow along with the story, but I know there are a lot of people who don't listen until it's finished. And so if any of you feel like coming back and letting me know what parts you enjoyed in the narration, or what parts you enjoyed in the story even, because I'm a fan of the story, so even if I didn't write it, obviously I love it. Or really just what you were doing while you listened, or any heads up, I would like that. It's just cool to hear that people are listening to my podfics. If you enjoyed the story, obviously please don't forget to leave a kudos and or comment on the fics themselves. Saying fix plural because I did just finish recording the sequel. I mean, not a long sequel. It was like 15 minutes, but the little follow-up, I just finished it. I know there is supposed to be more in this series, and if another long fic does emerge, I will definitely tackle that. No promises on how fast, but like, I'm here for it. I'm obsessed. Thank you so, so much to Bioluminescent and Right Through the Night for giving me permission to podfic this and for being so excited and positive about it. You're both great, and I love this universe that you've created. So thank you to them and to anyone who listened. And just, yeah, happy Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you.